From my home in Tallahassee, Florida, I'm Donovan Hall, and this is A Postmodern Journal. It's September 15th, and I'm Donovan Hall. I'll be your host for this weekly audio magazine of cultural and political commentary. On this week's edition, we'll take a look at the hijackings of four commercial airliners and the subsequent attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. The warlike rhetoric of the current administration as it seeks to take advantage of this opportunity to further its policies. We'll also hear statements from George W. Bush and the Secretary of State, Colin Powell. This and more on A Postmodern Journal. I worked late Monday night, so that by the time I woke up on Tuesday morning to check my email, the horrific events in New York, Washington, D.C., and just outside of Pittsburgh had already occurred. A line from a friend in one of my emails tipped me off to check the news. I went straight to the New York Times and read the lead story, World Trade Center Towers Collapse After Double Plane Crash. Could this be true? Was some internet hacker playing a sick joke? By instinct, I flicked on the radio to hear what NPR had to say. I hadn't been listening for more than 2 minutes when I was assured by a report that the Federal Reserve would continue its operations. What did the Fed have to do with the misuse of four airlines? How many must be suffering or dead? What comfort is that to be told the Fed is okay? National corporate radio at its lowest. The next thing I hear from NCR is speculation about terrorists, then some machoistic truisms from the current occupant of the White House. Why is the knee-jerk reaction to find who is responsible and make them pay? This is the line of a bully who doesn't expect to be hit back for picking on other kids in the playground. When the bully gets socked in the mouth, he will bellow threats. Someone with a compassionate heart might have just wept. What happens if we do make them pay? Who will be courageous enough to stop this circle of violence? For years, our government has, in our names, involved itself in the affairs of other countries. Our interests in these foreign affairs has led to the deaths of thousands. Millions? When we wonder about who could be insane enough to attempt to kill 50,000 people in a single act, we should be mindful of all the cruise missiles that we let fly in the Middle East. We should recall the embargo against Iraq that ensures a miserable life for millions in that country. We should understand that our policies, regardless of how righteous we think they are, beget destruction. That destruction has come back to us. If we respond to this act with violence, we will only invite more violence. Does responding with peace mean that we have given in to external pressure? What is so wrong with giving in when you have done wrong? It's time for this nation to grow up. Stop calling out for blood and revenge. We must look to changing how we relate to other nations and consider how our acts could have led to such a display of fanatical hatred? Secretary of State Colin Powell spoke to the nation in a press conference last Thursday.
We are assembling the evidence that will tell us in a way that the world will fully concur with us who is responsible for this. And when we have done that, we will announce it. And at that point, we will go after that group, that network, and those who have harbored, supported, and aided that network to rip the network up. And when we're through with that network, we will continue with a global assault against terrorism in general. We're focusing on everything and everybody. We're looking at those terrorist organizations who have the kind of capacity that would have been necessary to conduct the attack that we saw on the 11th. We haven't yet publicly identified the organization we believe was responsible. But when you look at the list of candidates, one resides in that region.
The Secretary of State was referring to Osama bin Laden, who is currently being held by the Taliban in Afghanistan. He has been singled out as the prime suspect in last Tuesday's terrible attack. Tuesday was a very sad day. Our nation suffered a great loss of life. These attacks should be denounced, just as all acts of violence should be denounced, regardless of their magnitude. We should all seriously, thoughtfully consider why the U.S. in particular, particularly these national symbols, the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, are hated so much. Can we understand the connection between the two attacks? There is one. Can we even begin to admit our own culpability in the deaths that have occurred today? In the past few days, and in the coming weeks, the corporate media spin machine will distract us from having to consider why. As they publicize calls for vengeance and retribution, violence begets violence begets violence. When will it end? You're listening to Liberator Radio International. This is Donovan Hall for a Postmodern Journal. Liberator Radio is sponsored by the Florida Citizens for a Just Society. Please visit our website at floridaliberator.org. Here at Liberator Radio, we value listener comments. If you have something to say, a comment on one of our programs, critical commentary, or a programming idea, we would like to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to radio@floridaliberator.org. The evening after the shocking events took place, George W. Bush, after hopping from Florida to Louisiana to Nebraska in Air Force One, write a few comments prepared by his speechwriters.
Good evening. Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. The victims were in airplanes or in their offices, secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief, terrible sadness, and a quiet, unyielding anger. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat, but they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they can't touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, and no one will keep that light from shining. Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America, with the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring for strangers and neighbors who came to give blood and help in any way they could. Immediately following the first attack, I implemented our government's emergency response plans. Our military is powerful, and it's prepared. Our emergency teams are working in New York City and Washington, D.C. to help with local rescue efforts. Our first priority is to get help to those who have been injured and to take every precaution to protect our citizens at home and around the world from further attacks. The functions of our government continue without interruption. Federal agencies in Washington, which had to be evacuated today, are reopening for essential personnel tonight and will be open for business tomorrow. Our financial institutions remain strong, and the American economy will be open for business as well. The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them. I appreciate so very much the members of Congress who have joined me in strongly condemning these attacks. And on behalf of the American people, I thank the many world leaders who have called to offer their condolences and assistance. America and our friends and allies join with all those who want peace and security in the world, and we stand together to win the war against terrorism. Tonight, I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. This is a day when all Americans from every walk of life unite in our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you. Good night, and God bless America.
We are all familiar with the timeline of this week's events. The endless coverage has beat this event into our psyches so well that we become numb to the magnitude of the death and destruction. We've been subjected to a great deal of wartime rhetoric this week, following on the heels of Hollywood's release of the intended summertime blockbuster Pearl Harbor. we are told that Tuesday's attack is similar and of a greater magnitude. The comparison is intended to lead us to a certain conclusion. War is now inevitable. But with whom? According to Noam Chomsky, in an interview this week with Flashpoint's host Dennis Bernstein, it doesn't matter who the U.S. attacks. As a superpower, we can attack whomever we want. Many examples could be given of this. The disco club bombing in Berlin was answered by the Reagan administration with the bombing of Libya, which was a convenient target that we wanted to hit anyway. Of course, subsequently, we found out that Libya had nothing to do with the bombing in Berlin. Syria was responsible. More recently, the Clinton administration ordered a bombing of a Sudanese pharmaceutical plant under the pretense that it had produced the explosives that Osama bin Laden used to attack two of our embassies in Africa. Later, we found out that the Sudanese plant had nothing to do with bin Laden's attacks. But as far as the U.S. is concerned, there's no problem with bombing Sudan, since they opened their borders to Muslims and accepted a number of the Mujahideen resistance fighters from Afghanistan. The loss of the only pharmaceutical plant in Sudan has resulted in the deaths of countless people from disease. If the Sudan had been a world superpower, do you think that they wouldn't have declared war on the U.S.'s own brand of terrorism? If terrorism is attacking civilian targets and inflicting civilian casualties on an innocent population, then should we not be ashamed of our own terrorist acts? One might argue that the bombing of the Sudanese pharmaceutical plant was a mistake. When we bombed it, we thought it was a military target. Okay. If we made a mistake and can admit that, then why haven't we volunteered to rebuild the plant? Instead, we shrug and say, too bad, and move on. It is for this attitude that much of the world hates us. People have said that the World Trade Center is not a military target. It is the object of attack because it is a symbol of American dominance of the global economy. In a world where military action is driven by corporate economic concerns, the financial institutions that make war, rationalized terrorism, possible, become the de facto military targets. In Bush Sr.'s New World Order, there is no such thing as a civilian. We are all enlisted as soldiers in the great capitalist struggle. So what are we going to do? What are the alternatives to war? One reasonable alternative was put forward by the Socialist Party of Florida, who calls for a nonviolent response to this week's tragedy. Unfortunately, their proposal will probably not work, since the Taliban is not likely to hand over bin Laden without a fight. So we must be steadfast and vigilant, since our government will attempt to respond with overwhelming force to this attack. Anyone who has paid attention to the news since November last year will know already that the current administration is searching for any excuse to justify its military spending. This is the plan put forward by the Florida Socialist Party. First of all, they recommend passing an emergency aid spending bill to help those recovering from the disaster in New York and Washington. Secondly, we should oppose military action at this time and say no to the War Powers Act. We should oppose President Bush's request for military funding and power under the War Powers Act, and to always oppose the targeting of innocents in violent military actions. We cannot hold the innocent civilians of Afghanistan responsible for this recent mass murder. They are struggling already under the oppressive Taliban regime. That a murderous man living in Afghanistan may have influenced the perpetrators of this recent mass murder does not give the USA an excuse to murder innocents, just as those mass murderers have no excuse for their own horrible actions. Number 3. Indict Osama bin Laden as an accomplice to mass murder. As Osama bin Laden already is a suspect for past crimes and likely an accomplice in this recent mass murder, please bring him to justice, but attempt to do so without violence. Indict him in all courts possible, including internationally. The attack this week should be treated as a criminal act, not as an act of war. 4. Immediately have Laden's assets and accounts frozen. Under the watchful eye of the world, act quickly to pressure the international banking community in Afghanistan to help track down and freeze all of bin Laden's assets and accounts so that possible funding of such actions can stop, and so that, if convicted, that money can be used for reparations. And if the U.S. conducts violent action without negotiating first, it may damage its chances to make use of these resources. Number 5. Request Laden's extradition from Afghanistan. Under the watchful eye of the world, pressure Afghanistan to extradite Laden, so that he may be tried for the crimes of which he is a likely suspect. This is the only way forward to keep us on the moral high ground and bring the world closer to peace. Now, number 5 has already been denied by the Taliban many times, and it's not likely that they will change their minds. I managed to extract a quote here from the leader of the Taliban, and he says that the Taliban's leader, Mullah Mohammed Omar, urged his people to prepare for a U.S. assault and urged them to stand fast against the enemy. He said that death comes once to everyone, and we must stand proud as Afghans in the defense of Islam. Omar said quite plainly that he was not afraid to die and that he would be more willing to die than to give up bin Laden. This coming from the leader of that country. What's troubling about attacking Afghanistan, especially if ground troops are involved, is that the Soviet Union tried for many years to destroy this country, but did not succeed. Their intervention in Afghanistan lasted from 1979 to 1991. Most of the time, the U.S. was supplying aid in the form of guns and weapons to the Mujahideen resistance, and a member of which was Osama bin Laden himself. So we find ourselves fighting against an enemy which, to some degree, we have some responsibility for rendering, making Afghanistan a place where these kinds of people could come into power and run the country. One of the quotes that I found in the newspapers that moved me the most was from a woman who is a teacher in Afghanistan. Her name is Zalme. And she says, "We have suffered so much. Every night, so many children go to bed hungry. What do we have to live for? Let the rockets come and set this whole country on fire once and for all." Now that is the voice of desperation. So we're going to use overwhelming force to devastate an already demoralized people just because they have an oppressive government that harbors a man we don't particularly like. Yes, he's responsible for the deaths of a lot of our citizens, but that doesn't make it right for us to be the murderers of others. That's all for this edition of A Postmodern Journal. A Postmodern Journal is a joint production of Odyssey Productions and Liberator Radio International. Financial support for this program has been provided by Florida Citizens for a Just Society and listeners like you. To read more about the Florida Citizens for a Just Society, visit our website, floridaliberator.org. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.